Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 22nd of October. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. The U of A football team looked very good in their defeat against Washington, but then on the pro side, the Cardinals not doing very well up at Minnesota. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear our program anytime, anywhere by visiting my website, buckmastershow.com. We also post every afternoon to the TucsonSentinel.com and the TucsonCitizen.com. Plus, there's a link to our show on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun at gvnews.com. And Blog for Arizona now has a link to the show on their homepage of blogforarizona.com. We're live noon to one each weekday. We'll get things moving on this Monday afternoon with the political face-off with one of our two teams of commentators. Today, it's Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. They sincerely believe they are the A-team. Then our debate series spotlights Prop 409, the City of Tucson's road repair measure. Sean McCluskey will be here talking against the measure, while Bruce Burke will also join us in studio. Mr. Burke will speak in favor of 409. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also email your questions on our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Every Monday on the show, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off. Today it is Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, Vice Chair of the Pima County Democrat Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, how are you gentlemen today?
Great.
Just dandy.
Are you doing well?
I am great.
Did you have a good weekend?
I prepped all weekend. This is like, you know, me at Camp David with Barack Obama prepping for the big debate today on Prop 204 and 121.
Yeah, we do.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I was putting up Prop 204 signs all weekend. So,
well, why don't we begin with Prop 121, the so-called top two primary measure. And the reason we're focusing on these two props, because they are the ones getting most of the attention in the state. If you live in the city of Tucson, you're interested in 409, but we'll talk about that at 12:30. Should we begin with 121? I think both of you gentlemen are going to agree that you do not like this. Paul Eckerstrom?
Yeah, I don't like it. I kind of like the reason it got on is to try to moderate our politics and drive people into more of the center of the political spectrum in terms of who we elect, so we would have a little more rationality at the state legislature. But I don't think it accomplishes that. And two things it does that I think are really bad is that it can create dynamics where if you're in a Democratic, heavily Democratic district and five people run in the primary that are Democrats and two people run as Republicans, you may get the top two vote getters might be Republicans because the Democratic vote gets split. I think that's not a proper way to do it. When they've tried this in California, this is the first year they're doing it in California. That's happened in some congressional districts where both the Republicans have a district or the Democrats have a district, and it looks like they're going to get opposite representation in both those districts. I think that's a bad anomaly. The other thing I don't like about this is it gets rid of clean elections. I think clean elections are important for participation of just regular folks in our political process, and this eliminates clean elections, and therefore I'm against it. I'm not against the principle of trying to create a system that drives our politics more to the center. I just don't think this one works.
Bruce Ash, a no on 121 as far as you're concerned.
I think that's a smart way for voters to look at this proposition, Bill and Paul. I agree generally with what Paul has had to say, and I would go further by saying that we have had several different measures on the ballot over the past decade and a half or so that have tried to re-engineer the election process. And I'm not sure that we've really accomplished much in the way of good with any of those. Paul mentioned clean elections, getting rid of it. It's largely been changed by court decision here recently. It probably doesn't have quite the impact that it used to. This top two primary thing is bad because it eliminates open primaries. It really does not do anything at all to moderate the political discourse. I happen to like some friction in politics, but this will do nothing to do that to accomplish that. And you have to wonder when you look at who's supporting Prop 121 exactly what their intentions are. And I'm not sure that at the end of the day all we're going to have is more polarized politics as well as special interests trying to weasel their way into how we do business in the state of Arizona.
And we do want to direct you, all of our listeners, if you want to hear a debate on both sides of this particular proposition, Prop 121, a month or so ago, Bruce Ash sat down with Ted Downing and they talked about and debated the merits of 121. And we have that available along with all of the Buckmaster Show debates archived for you at kvoi.com. We strongly suggest you give that a listen. Now, there is going to be disagreement between you two gentlemen on Prop 204. Paul Eckerstrom, beginning with you, you have spoken very passionately on our Monday political face-off in the past about your number one issue, the most important issue to you is education.
Yeah, education levels the playing field for people, gives equal opportunity for kids from varying backgrounds. I think our public education system grew our middle class. And what this does, Proposition 204, is extends the one-cent sales tax that we passed back in May of 2010 so that it goes directly to education and a little bit goes to road building, which the state legislature has totally eviscerated as well. Basically, our roads are falling apart because of it. And what this does is it keeps – at least it brings us up from dead last and really far dead last in funding of schools among states to at least 49th. And it creates a floor by which the legislature cannot cut education. And therefore, the money that this is earmarked for, it goes to education and it can't be cut back through other – basically going to the budget and taking some other pot of money for education out. That can't happen under this legislation. And that's what's really good about it, that basically the extremists in that legislature – and I'm not counting – Republicans, because this is a bipartisan effort among a lot of business people who are Republican, business leaders and other leaders in our communities, both in Phoenix and in Tucson, the Southern Asian Leadership Council, business group here, Greater Phoenix Leadership Council up in Phoenix, same group, type of group.
The Flagstaff group.
Business community, parts of the business community, a large part of the business community is behind this. And the reason is they know it's important for our economy to have a good education system. The only problem is the extremists in the legislature have been wanting to voucherize and privatize our whole public school system, and they won't be able to do this because of this. They won't be able to cut public schools any longer.
That's Paul Eckerstrom, who's so passionate about in favor of Prop 204, Bruce Ash, that Paul spent a good part of his weekend out putting up signs urging people to vote for 204.
Well, Paul, that's great. I know you might find this surprising, but I agree with you about education being so important to our children and to the future of our state. We look at things a little differently. If Prop 204 actually guaranteed that more money was going to get into the classroom, I think there'd be a lot more Arizonans who'd favor of it, but it simply doesn't. And that's really the problem with Prop 204. It's a payoff to public unions. Let me finish, Paul. It's a payoff also to the heavy road contractors who supported getting the petitions signed. Not a bad deal for them. They spent less than $1 million and they're going to get about $100 million out of this. This is the largest increase in the state of Arizona's history. And it is a permanent increase. And really when
it's not an increase at all. It's just extending what we passed in 2010.
Paul, it's an increase. the other?
No, it's not. It's passing what we already passed. It's just extending the 1 cent sales tax.
It's not an additional.
No, it's not an additional tax at all.
Is it?
We were promised that that temporary sales tax would be temporary, and it's not. Because there's a number of people, the road contractors as well as the Arizona Education Association, who wants to glom onto this money permanently. They don't trust the legislature.
Who does?
They also have a very partisan point of view. And at the end of the day, if school children are not the direct recipients of the majority of this money – and if it cannot be counted for and if the education system is not being held accountable, this is a real problem.
Well,
let me just finish. I'll be brief. I promise you. the reason that there has been so much – you call it privatization of education here in Arizona is because Arizonans, just like people from all over the country, aren't very happy about public education and what – gets done to educate
Paul, can you save your comment till after the break?
Sure.
All right. Paul Ackerstrom and Bruce Ash talking about Prop 204. They have some very, very different ideas about this particular measure. We return on the Buckmaster Show on the Monday Political Face-Off right after we hear from these messages by the Buckmaster Show sponsors.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Moe does it all. He will gladly make house calls, do all the measurements, do all the hanging. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash are with me. We are debating Proposition 204. Before we go to Paul, let's squeeze in Robert here on the Buckmaster Show, and he's worried that this thing is going to be a tax increase. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, first of all, I read this bill. There are measures that help keep it in education, but there's nothing about accountability, so just forget it. Secondly, if Democrats consider sales tax increases regressive and offensive to the poor, how on earth can they support a penny sales tax increase, which it is?
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Paul Eckerstrom.
Well, I would much rather be an income tax increase because that's more progressive. I don't disagree. Although in Arizona, sales tax, there's exemptions on food and rent. And housing, which makes it less regressive than other states. One of the things I will tell you, though, is one of the reasons we have become dependent on a sales tax is because, one, people seem to just not like income taxes. But we had a low income tax in 1990 in this state, but we've cut that income tax to one-third of what it was per capita since that time. And that's why we went from 28th in spending in schools in the 80s to absolutely dead last among the states now. And we need to recoup those revenues somehow. And this is the sales tax extension. It's not an increase. It's an extension of what we passed back in 2010. It seemed to be the most popular way to go about doing it because it really isn't an increase. We've already passed this once before. So that's my answer in terms of why this is this tax extension is necessary.
Bruce, what do you think about that?
Well, Paul wants to continue referring to this as a tax extension. It is a new tax. It is a permanent tax. It will create Arizona, putting us into the second highest sales tax state country behind Tennessee. Further, while Paul in this particular case wants to make light of the regressive part of the sales tax, it does hurt the poor. And probably more important, as a permanent funder for education, the sales tax is one of the worst ways to do it because as the economy dips and increases and changes over the period of years, there's going to be less chance of there being a stable amount of funding going toward this particular vehicle for education. I return again. And this is and Robert pointed this out, and you know the state treasurer has pointed this out, and you know I'm not in as good a shape as either of those two folks, but I'll point it out. There is no accountability.
There is not.
Then have him show it to us. Okay. Well, and I doubt if he can.
All right.
And the most important thing is you can throw as much money as you want at education, and they do so in places like Washington D.C. and Chicago, Illinois, and the education still is miserable. The kids don't succeed. We want children to succeed. This isn't the way to do it.
The states with the best test scores in the country, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Minnesota, are usually in the top three or four of spending on education in the country. Now, let me address a few things. One, this wouldn't make us the highest sales tax in the country.
Second highest.
It's second highest. It makes us ninth. And two, in overall taxes in this among the states, we are 38th in terms of taxes among all the states, if you include all taxes. And finally, one of the things that's really important to understand here is, and Bruce said it in his first answer about this, that people are getting disenchanted with public education in Arizona. And the reason that is because for the last 20 years, the legislature, the extremists in the legislature have systematically defunded our schools so that people will get disenchanted. So then they can move towards a total privatization of our schools.
All right.
And that would be a disaster because that means rich kids will get subsidized for their schools and poor kids will get a voucher for substandard schools. And that's it. We then become a class society.
Okay. Let's go to John now on the Buckmaster Show live line. John, you're up. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My complaint about this bill or this proposition is that there's permanence there. There is no way of revisiting this law if it doesn't go bad. Now, the original intent of the temporary, quote-unquote, sales tax was that it was going to be for 3 years and we come back, and that was going to be it. We're coming back and revisiting this issue now, but should this new proposition pass, there's no way of going back, effectively having a term limit on the proposition. It should be written to go back every 2 years, every 4 years, whatever. But the permanence is the problem on that. Once it's in, it's in, and we are stuck with it.
Okay. No, that's not true. That is not true because to get this on the ballot, we had to go through an initiative process. There's no reason that the people can't do an initiative process or a referendum process to knock it off, to change it back if they want, make changes, or knock it off completely. So we have the initiative process in this state, and that's the way we're proceeding on this right now, and that's the way anybody could proceed to change it if they want to. The other thing is I wanted to answer on the accountability of measures. There are certain accountability measures that the state has already passed in this state that are included in this to be funded by this initiative. And the reason that's important is because the state legislature passed all these accountability mandates on all the school districts, but they did not fund it. And there's no money for it. And this provides money for those very accountability standards that the state legislature wanted. And therefore, there is accountability in this. That's already been passed. It just hasn't been funded and can't be funded unless – and by the way, if this does not pass, the second largest school district in the state will be closing 13 to 30 schools, and that it will be disastrous for neighborhoods.
TUSD
and other school districts are going to face the same thing. They are going to be closing neighborhood schools, and that's disastrous for property values in those neighborhoods that schools close, period.
Here's Bruce Ash.
I'm going to address once more – for Paul and for all the listeners here today, Prop 204 does not guarantee that there's going to be more money that is placed inside the classrooms for our children, for teachers who richly deserve it. Paul and I think all Arizonans, every single one of us, want our schools to do better. And notwithstanding Paul's very, very passionate appeal, schools are not doing better because of the legislature. Because of the legislature, they're not doing as well because we've taken education really out of the hands of parents. We have poured so much money into infrastructure, into middle management. Not enough money has stayed inside the classrooms for the children. If Prop 204 did this, and perhaps like the last caller said, if there had been some sun setting on this, and John was very smart in talking about that, so that we could periodically review the situation, it might be a different story. But that's not the case. This was an all-out effort. Paul wants to refer to Republicans always as extremists.
Republicans are extremists. The ones in the legislature are.
Let me finish. This was an all-out action by the extremists within the labor union and in the education association to take over the education dollars.
You know what? The money goes to the school districts where school boards which are accountable to people here in our communities will be spending them in the classroom. And let me tell you something. People keep saying that – buses are somehow not part of our school and classrooms, and librarians and counselors. We've cut those things so far back, it's unbelievable. And those schools that are going to close in TUSD, they'll close because after a 20% cut in administration.
They're not going to close because of this.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
They're going to close because of a failed school district.
That's going to do it for the political face-off. Thank you very much to Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash. Brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We have a debate coming up on Proposition 409. If you're a city voter, this will affect you. Should we put yes or no on road repair measure 409? That's next. Stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Former President Carter is in Jerusalem today, and he says the prospect of an Israeli-Palestinian peace accord is vanishing because of Israeli settlements of the West Bank. Syria's civil war is spilling into neighboring countries. A Jordanian soldier has been killed in clashes with armed militants trying to cross the border into Syria. Officials say that one of those killed in yesterday's shootings at a Wisconsin spa was the estranged wife of the suspected gunman who took his own life after the shooting spree. Police in Michigan are investigating a string of 20 shootings that have mostly damaged vehicles on busy roads across four counties. On Wall Street, the Dow down 61 points, while the NASDAQ is trading 2 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends at Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better. Now's your chance to check out Splendido up close and personal. They're doing their annual Showcase of Homes event 1 week from tomorrow. It starts at 9 a.m. Please give them a call. Say you heard about it on our show, the Buckmaster Show, 762-4090, 762-4090, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Today, the show, our Buckmaster Show debate series, spotlights Proposition 409, the road improvement measure on the ballot for residents who live in the city of Tucson. 409 is a $100 million bond measure spread over 5 years that would pay to resurface 31% of major roadways and collector streets and 7% of residential streets over 5 years, starting late next year. The bonds would be issued in $20 million increments annually for 5 years and would cost taxpayers $18 in additional tax for every $100,000 of assessed value on their homes. Joining us now, Bruce Burke, campaign chair in favor of Prop 409. Bruce is a local attorney. He has a long record of community service, including serving on the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Also with us, longtime political activist Sean McCluskey, a Tucson businessman who is against 409. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Bruce Burke, why should folks vote yes on this?
Well, Bill, I think that we can all agree that our Tucson roads are a mess. Washboards, potholes, you can't drive through this city without risking damage to your vehicles. It creates an image problem, and fundamentally it's damaging to our economy and our safety. As a community, we really need to step up and do something. We have a long-term problem here, and this bond proposal is a good step forward, a good solution to begin the work that needs to be done here. So we are advocating that people vote yes on Proposition 409 to support this five-year bond project.
Sean McCluskey, why should folks vote no?
It's quite simple. The city does not use the money that they receive currently appropriately. They don't put the money towards the roads, that we don't crack seal, we don't chip seal, we don't repair potholes in the city. We have on the average, a $400 million general fund budget, and annually less than 0.1% goes towards road maintenance. We cry foul when we say that the HERF funds have been diminished, but then we spend the HERF funds on projects that go nowhere, such as bridges and such. We don't put the money back into our roads. This is an issue about trust, ladies and gentlemen, and do you trust your city council, and do you trust them to do the right thing? Now, they'll tell you that the money is allocated and it has to go for certain projects. Most of those projects, if you look at a few of the roads, those roads are pristine. They don't even have a pebble out of place. If we're looking at repairing our worst shape roads, let the transportation director come up with a solid plan and let the city government fund it with what they already have.
Bruce Burke, folks will be looking for accountability.
Yes, and I think that's a key issue here. I think this measure addresses all aspects of that accountability question. It does two things. First, this is not a project, a bond project, in which the city of Tucson, its workers, will do the work. All of these contracts under the bond proposals will be bid out to private enterprise. Local contractors will do the work at a low bid open procurement process. So this work is not something the city is going to be doing. It's going to be done by private enterprise here locally and boost jobs in addition to improving our roads. Second point to make, there is a bond oversight committee composed entirely of citizens who will watch over and make sure that this project proceeds as it has been adopted. If you go to www.yeson409.org, you will see the map the city council adopted. That map outlines each of the roads that will be improved over this this project over 5 years, and it will be the responsibility of that bond oversight committee made up of citizens to assure that that map is followed. No change to that map can occur without a recommendation from this committee.
You say, Sean McCluskey, this is about trust, though.
Absolutely.
And
it's
you
about
don't trust the people.
It's not even me. I mean, the city on their own accord did a poll prior to putting this and spending $350,000+ to put this on the ballot. They pulled a poll. The own information that they pulled, 52% of the Tucsonans that they pulled said no. They do not trust the city to do the right thing with the money, or do they not trust simply trust the city? The money would not go where it was supposed to be allocated. Now, I'm all for privatizing transportation and getting the job sector moving and going forward. We can do a lot of things like we've done at the state level where they've given sections of roads and said, you private company, you take pictures of the potholes, geocode it, send it back to us. When it's fixed, we'll pay you accordingly. It's worked very well on the state level. If we can incorporate something like that here on the city level, then we can move forward without taxing our citizens. This is going against your fixed income folks. This is going against your elderly. They're reaching into your elderly home. My grandmother's home, they're going right after her purse strings. They don't have enough money. They're living on fixed incomes. Why can't the city council work within the budget they already have?
Let me follow up, Bruce, before I go back to you about this trust question with Sean, because there are new players in place. When you talk about trust in the city, there's a new mayor, a new city manager, a new transportation director.
All three doing very good jobs.
Yeah,
however,
so new players,
past history.
New players there, and so you're looking at past history before these gentlemen when you
Absolutely.
Say there's no trust.
The proof's in the pudding. You have to show me something before I'm going to trust you. It's just not given. It's earned, and they haven't earned that trust yet.
And what do you say about this new team?
The simple answer to that, Bill, is not only do we have a new team in place, but we have a new plan in place. And we need to look forward, not backward. If this city is going to live up to its reputation, improve its infrastructure, become an economy that's strong and vibrant, and has roads that are safety, folks can drive down with an ambulance or a police car without hitting potholes and slowing down on their way to an emergency, then we've got to take some action. We've got to take this into our own hands as a community. That's what Proposition 409 does. It removes the issues that are concerning people from government, placing it in the hands of this Citizens Oversight Committee and our private enterprise system to fix our roads. At $27 per average household per year, this is a real bargain. It needs to be done.
One of our Facebook friends on Bill Buckmaster Show that asked a question this morning, and perhaps each of you gentlemen know the answer to this, and it was about Proposition 204, the sales tax measure for education, but there's also 10% of that. If it passed, 10% of the sales tax would go to transportation spending. And this particular Facebook friend was wondering, so if this passes, if 409 – I mean, if 204 passes, do we still need 409, Bruce?
Burke? Short answer, yes. It will – this project in 204 will deliver some funds, I think in the order of $3 million. But that is a small drop in the bucket of what this community really needs, and I think Sean probably agrees with me.
I wholeheartedly agree with it's a minuscule amount.
Yeah. So we really need to look and focus on how do we get a jump start on what amounts to an $800 million inventory of streets and roads that are badly in need of repair. If we don't deal with it this year, it only gets worse. The roads continue to deteriorate. We don't have any realistic alternative. There's not the money in the budget to fix this magnitude of a problem.
Wholeheartedly disagree with the money's not in the budget. Let's go to police and fire. Let's look at their budgetary numbers. We're looking at 2008 numbers for police and fire. In 2009, SunTrans number was $35 million. The budgetary numbers for next year, it should be up close to 48. Let's take that $13 million back. Let's take the $750,000 we stick in the golf courses, sell a golf course or two. Let's reduce the subsidy to the zoo, maybe increase the prices there or figure out a way to recover cost. Let's see, $5.5 million capital investment to Parkwise parking infrastructures, $7.8 million to Tucson Golf, $5.9 million to Tucson Convention Center. Let's see, $205,000 general fund contribution to the $3.2 million budget of the Department of Sustainable Development, $3.2 million spent on mayor and council. You're telling me there's no fat in the budget, sir? I have one question for you. The finance department has a vehicle. I don't know what they were doing at Costco the other day when we spoke on last Thursday, but at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, this gentleman should not be at Costco. Pay him 32 cents a mile. Let him take his own car and go get his $1.50 hot dog.
Okay, that's Sean McCluskey. Here's Bruce Burke. Your response, Bruce, to Sean.
I've got a lot of response to this one because right. these little examples.
Shuffling some money around.
I was doing the math as I was listening to Sean's numbers, and that doesn't get anywhere close to
$20 million. I just hit it.
Well, I don't think you did. I think we can all expect, Sean, that what you've got here is a lot of complaints about past history and a couple of anecdotes. And I don't know who this fellow was parked on the street. You know, we need
vehicle
to focus
number
on,
1107.
We need to focus on the big picture here. We need to focus on what this community really needs and stop looking backwards and start looking forwards. If we don't solve this problem, as I say, it's going to get worse. And $27 a year, which is about a half a tank of gas, is a realistic answer and the appropriate answer to solving our community's problems.
Okay, Sean is showing me a photo of City of Tucson vehicle 1107. And on that note, we're going to take a break on the Buckmaster Show. We are listening to a debate about Proposition 409 on the City of Tucson ballot. We will be back right after this. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion of the program presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. What a perfect time of year over there. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, those warm days and crisp, cool evenings. Perfect time to hike and enjoy the spectacular wilderness of the Gila National Forest. Great places to stay, including Gila Hot Springs Ranch, Bear Creek Cabins, and Manzano's RV Park. You can find out about where to stay and everything to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Bruce Burke is with us. He's chair of the committee that is hoping to get Proposition 409, the city roads measure, passed on the ballot and hoping that it wins. And Sean McCluskey is here speaking against. And Sean is kind of a one-man team here that he has put together the opposition of Prop 409.
Correct. It's me, myself, and I.
Continuing on with the fat in the budget question, Bruce Burke. There's fat in the budget, according to Sean, his contention. We don't need this.
Well, the truth of the matter is that since our recession hit in 2008, there's been a dramatic decline in the budget and in personnel at City Hall. And just to look at a couple of the numbers, you can get the dimension of the picture. I checked, and I've looked at the numbers. We lost over 1,000 employees by budget cuts over that two-year period. We've seen a 6% cut to the police department. We've seen a 7% or 6% cut to the fire department. We've seen a decline in the transportation department employee groups. So, and in addition to that, we've had decline in the HERF funds, the revenue that comes from the gas tax, a 26% decline since 2008. So if you look at the big picture and assess it realistically, there is no way to get to the results that Sean wants to find the $100 million or anything close to it in this budget.
Just a drop in the bucket then.
It's not going to make it. And I think the other important thing to know is the city council has looked at this. In May, they studied the issues. They asked for a complete report looking at all the options. And the only option that emerged was a bond proposition in this amount. And there was a poll done to get to that amount, too.
So, Sean, he says there's just not enough. I mean, you can't get
to which is laughable. Okay, so let's look at this. He gave us a bunch of numbers about 26% decline here and 10% decline here and 15% decline here. Yet there's a 33% increase to SunTrend. When we diminish our police and fire and our public safety to our general citizens, we increase SunTrend by 33%. Okay, so let's take the $13 million from SunTrend, and we need to get to $20 million, correct, each year? Take SunTrend.
Well, you're talking about a $40 million amount in SunTrend now, something on that order.
It's $48 million.
And you're going to cut 13?
Correct.
And then you're going to have more homeless people, fewer people that get to work.
No, you'll have SunTrend will need
to
reorganize and learn how to do with what they have and not keep depending on the city of Tucson for increases. Now, $3.2 million in city council and mayor offices. Let's do a little consolidation there. Let's do $5.5 million capital investment parkwise, $7.8 million to golf. I mean, come on, right there's my $20 million. That does not even include that we have $10 million to consultants going annually, and we have our fleet services, which I've talked about endlessly. We have too many vehicles. That's $28 million.
Okay.
Yes, but that's $28 million. Now, that's an annual savings. If we can save those numbers annually, I've killed your $20 million annually. I've gotten you 40. Now you need $800 million to fix the roads. You're dropping $100 million at it. You're going to fix roads that are – look at Gorette. Gorette doesn't have a pebble out of place, and you guys want to tear it up and redo it.
Let's talk about the roads because the road survey that established these routes to be improved was done by professionals. They looked at it and used instruments to measure the problems in the road. All of these roads that are on the map need improvement, demand improvement. If we don't get to it – we're going to lose more roads to the bad potholes that already exist because asphalt deteriorates year by year. This is a problem that only gets worse
so
if we don't do something.
Shouldn't we do something, Sean?
Yes, we should readdress it, and we should allocate the money out of the general fund. And you can tell me we don't have it there, but I've just given you $40 million.
Well, Sean, of course, doesn't sit on the city council. He's got an advocacy position to take. The truth of the matter, if you look objectively at the budget and you think just for a minute about this economy, you can appreciate how the decline has occurred with revenues, with employees.
The theft,
the city's
the graft,
been hit.
The arrests.
The problems with the department are solved by the committee oversight that is put in place. The city council recognizes the need, and to say that the citizens that
the
sit on that
crooks.
Committee won't do their job, I think is really frankly taking it a little
city
bit
council
too far.
Appoints the oversight
it gets
committee.
Back
yes
to
no.
Sean, your thing about the trust.
There is none.
You don't trust these
it's
people
not even
who
me.
Are
it's
on the accountability.
The city's own polling numbers showed themselves before they spent the $350,000+ to put this item on the ballot that they did not have the trust nor the backing of the everyday citizen.
Go ahead, Bruce Burke.
Which is, of course, why the city council established a citizens oversight
and who
committee.
Puts the who's on the oversight
which is why
committee?
The city who council adopted a plan
committee?
That you can go to the website, you
the
can
city
look
council.
And, well, Sean, please let me finish. When you look at that website, you're going to know what
answer
this project
question.
Is
let,
all
let him,
about.
Finish,
so
Sean.
The answers to all of Sean's questions have been addressed in every possible way. The community is going to see the results of the Bond Oversight Commission. They're going to see the results of the roadways because they're all mapped out, and they're going to see private enterprise step in and fix our roads. I can't think of a better deal for this community at $27 per average household per year.
Our oversight committees work so well because they're appointed by the city council. So you get a crony, a lackey, someone who is going to do anything that they want. And you tell me that somebody else other than our city council or our mayor appoints these individuals on that oversight committee.
It seems to me unfair to suggest that a citizens commission appointed by not only the city council but four appointments come from the city manager who just got appraised from Sean just a few minutes
ago. Yeah, Sean
ago.
Said
he's doing a great
doing
job.
A great,
so
great
so
job.
Here we are. If they're doing a great job and we're going to put in place an oversight commission that will do its work and a bond proposal that shows everyone complete transparency, I don't think there's any question left unanswered in this proposal.
It's about trust. And do you trust Shirley Scott? Do you trust Rahina Romero? Do you trust Karen Eula?
Shirley
the answer
Scott,
is simply no.
Shirley Scott, Rahina Romero are not going to be sitting
they're
on the
They're going to select people on the oversight committee. Do you trust your city council? Resoundingly, the answer came from the citizens, and they told you no at 52%+.
Let me tell you, if we put this in our hands in a citizens oversight commission, if we put this in the hands of our free enterprise system locally, this job will get done. It will get done well. It will get done efficiently. And we will finally see the terrible condition of our roads improve. And it's going to be an important turnaround for this community. If we don't do it, we're only looking at a worse situation next year. This problem does not solve itself, and it can't be found in the current budget.
Yes, it can be, and the city council can most certainly do their job. They can get Kelly Gottschalk, the finance manager. They can get with the city manager, and they can also get with the Department of Transportation with him, and they can figure out areas where they can reduce the waste that they have.
Aren't you worried, Sean, though, that if nothing is done, the roads are going to get a lot worse?
It's going to come to an absolute ultimatum to where the city council is going to be forced to find the money in the budget. And, of course, what they'll do is they'll go after police and fire like they always do because those are the two big elephants in the room. Now, look at our citizens. Last Wednesday night we had seven people in the city of Tucson get shot. Three of them died. Four of them had multiple 9+ gunshot wounds. You can't live in anarchy.
So with the cuts that have already occurred and the only way to get to the number that we need for our roads, we have to cut somewhere unless we adopt this proposal. And so when you focus on what the need is and you look at the dollar amount that is expected to be costing us as a community at $27, which is $27 is a half a tank of gas a year.
It's a monthly prescription for an elderly on a fixed income.
It's going to solve this problem in a very cost-effective way.
Okay, let's give each of you now 30 seconds to close. And we opened with Bruce Burke, so we'll open now with Sean McCluskey, and then Bruce, you will get the final 30 seconds. Go ahead. Sean McCluskey talking against Prop 409.
Vote no on Prop 409. It's simple. Hold your city council accountable. Make them do the right thing. Make them quit fraud, waste, and abuse first before they tax and come after the elderly on the fixed income. It is just that simple. Make your city council do the right thing.
Bruce Burke.
Our roads are in deplorable state. They're not getting any better. It's only going to get worse. At $27 per household per year, this project is a bargain for this community. It has oversight that is needed. It has private enterprise that's involved. It's got the endorsement of the Chamber of Commerce. It's got endorsements across the board from the business community, and many of them are seeing this as an essential not only to improving the condition of our lives but the condition of this community's future as an economic powerhouse.
Thank you very much, Bruce Burke and Sean McCluskey. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan Water, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's the John C. Scott Show here on KVOI. And then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. All of our debates, and we've had about a dozen of them, are archived at KVOI.com, KVOI.com. Also, you can find them on our website, BuckmasterShow.com. That'll do it for the Monday edition. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.